Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Hey, good evening, friends. Joe Schofield here, and welcome to this week's version of Raising Expectations. We're so thankful for you and glad that you tune in, and just as happy when we hear from you and you share texts and messages about the way that God is raising your expectations and the different things that he has planned for your life and the things that you do as you follow him. We've got a great show tonight. We've got part of the Raising Expectations family tonight that you've been asking about. And that would be Mark and Belinda Rich, and they're going to be with us in just a moment here. But as we begin tonight, our prayer is always that God is working in your life. You know, we are all born-again believers that God is God, who he says he is, that Jesus Christ is his son, who was born to die, who lived so that he would understand who we are, fully man, fully God, freely gave his life on the cross, rose again on the third day, paying the price for our sins, and sealing us to all who believe that he is Lord, like he says, and receive him as Savior. So you talk about raising expectations. We often talk about that because in the beginning, we used to talk about things we could do. The older we get, the more we understand about things, hopefully learn about things. But really, the older we get, the more we realize the truth of who God is and what God's word says. We're excited about our nation, too, about the United States of America. And we're excited that so many people are looking to the Judeo-Christian ethics that founded this nation and who we are, to love all, accept all, but point all to Jesus Christ and who he is. And so that's what we try to do in our program. We've got a great family in the audience. And again, we're here with you tonight. So we're going to go ahead tonight and begin by sharing some of our wonderful team. These men and women bless my life. I count it as a great joy to be able to be friends and family with them each and every week. And you know, if you start on the West Coast, we have all the way, but before I go to the West Coast, we're going to go there in a second. I'm going to invite you to look at our website first so you can have it ready. I always forget this one in the beginning. If you go to our website, you'll find about the men and women I'm going to share with you, and you'll also be able to hear and see more of what's going on. That's bbsradio.com/raising expectations. bbsradio.com/raising expectations. And on there, you'll find about our program. We'll show you a little bit more of that later. But you'll also find out about the people who are in the family and on the program. There's a place where you can check each week's shows that are listed for you. You can just click on them. You can either watch the podcast or listen to the podcast or do both, whatever you'd like. As they're on different platforms. But here on BBS Radio, which is worldwide, this is the greatest radio outreach station you're going to find for podcast and radio anywhere in the world today. You'll find things on there about books that are written, and we'll show you some of those later on. But mainly you'll find out about our people, who they are. So I'm going to start on the West Coast first and bring up Dr. Paul Hall in Lompoc, California, which is next to Santa Barbara. And Paul is a retired pastor, although pastors never really retire. They just keep sharing great verses. And Paul is a man who loves the Lord, loves people, and many, many, many people know and love Paul. He's been a blessing in my life for over 55 years, and we both feel like we're about 35. What's the square root of that? But anyway, about 35, and we're still rolling and excited to see what God does each and every day. So Paul is there in Lompoc, California. And Paul and I joined him. How you doing, Paul? Any
good, thanks. Feeling
last good. Week, good to see you. Yeah, last week a couple of people talked about a couple of those rockets taking off from the space station behind you there. That was pretty exciting. So
especially it was exciting.
Yeah. So also if we join together now and we head to the East Coast, actually the South side of the East Coast, which would be Dalton, Georgia. We'll find there our good friend Steph and Dr. Craig Thayer. Now, as we mentioned last week, Steph has been in Amsterdam at a conference, and Tang may tell you something about that. But she is not going to be with us tonight, and we hope that the conference was great. Tang can share a little bit about that. Stephanie, as you know, has a website called Live Your Life Out Loud. You'll find that on our website also. She helps women across the nation with their walk with the Lord, with the scripture and what it means to understand how God is working in every single area of your life as you learn to follow and listen and just wait on the Lord. He's doing many, many things. That's her website there is Live Life Out Loud, and you'll find it right there. And she's married to a wonderful man. She and Craig are two of our favorite people in the world, Dr. Tank. Thayer, Dr. Craig Thayer is his name, but he has a tremendous life being a surgeon. He's they're both from Northern California originally, and now they're in Georgia. And Tank, as a surgeon and a mission surgeon also, has helped people all over the world, and it's amazing what he has done in helping people in times of need as a trauma surgeon who is there to help them when a lot of difficulty needs to be talked about on how to deal with somebody and needs to be done fast. And somebody needs to look at it and make decisions. And I'll never forget how he shared with me the first time he looked at his hands and said, God, use these hands somehow to save this life. And that's been his life's call ever since, to save lives as God uses him. So Tank is right there, and they're in Dalton, Georgia. And Tank, I bet you're glad you missed your wife. She's back at that conference. How you doing tonight?
Yeah, I tried to prop her up with some dark chocolate espresso beans, but it didn't work. So it's over 10-hour plane trip, and it's a 6-hour difference, and all those things added up with a week of working. She just collapsed.
Yeah, no, we'll be praying she feels better and gets a good night's rest, and it all went well for that. And we're sure glad you're here, brother. And Tank's an author also. He's written a great book. You'll find it on the website. It's called Saved, and it's God at Work in the Ordinary Things in Your Life. You'll find it right there. You can get a bigger view, finding him in the ordinary things of life. And one trauma surgeon's true accounts of the miracles in his life. And he's got some miracles that only God could do, and you'll be excited to read about those things. So the book is called Saved, and you can get the information there on our website, and you'll want to get a copy of that. And just above is the third release on my book, Legitimate Faith, which produces authentic hope, not just hope, but authentic hope. We know that in the Greek, the word hope usually means definitely assurance, and authentic hope is one where that assurance is kicked in. You crawled out of the potholes of life, and as you crawled out, you realize that it was the hand of God reaching down to pull you up out of that hole. And when your hand of faith reached up and grabbed his hand of grace, that faith was produced, and you realize that that's the faith that changes your life and raises your expectations. So we hope you'll find those, make yourself to grab a hold of one of those books if you'd like to get a copy of those. Everything's written on there. And we have another great member who must be tied up because it's not like old Pastor Ron. He's in McKinney, Texas, and he's not here, and I hope everything's okay. This is kind of a different case. Ron is the area director for Man in the Mirror out of Florida, but he's there in McKinney, Texas, and Ron's a pastor and a counselor, and he just does a great job. We love Ron. He's a great brother in Christ, and we'll have to see. I hope he's doing okay. Something must have come up. It's very strange, so we'll be praying that he's fine, and we'll go from there. So we are the Three Musketeers with our guests tonight. So they've got us tonight, so that works out pretty well. There's more time for them, but I'm excited to share with you, and we're excited as a team to present for you two of our favorite people that you have asked about again, and that's Mark and Belinda Rich, and they are with JARS, the Jungle Aviation and Relay Service that works with missionaries all over the world. And I don't know, maybe like me, one of my favorite verses you'll find anywhere in Scripture is Philippians 4:19, where it says, "My God is supplying all your needs according to his riches in heaven." These two people are part of God's riches because they're people that have committed their lives to Christ. And you'll find in this story here some of the things that Mark works with. Unbelievable. Missionaries don't just get sent out. Somebody has to put physical hands, physical needs and presence to help them and bless them. And this is the story of how that takes place. And so I'm going to ask you to give the round of applause to Mark and Belinda, and he'll probably take you back to that in just a minute. Thanks, TJ, for sharing that. And we welcome you. Let's welcome them to Raising Expectations tonight. Mark and Belinda. Mark's on the right. Belinda's on the left on my screen. And welcome to the program tonight. We're so glad you're here.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Tell us about what's going on, and maybe, Mark, what's the latest thing going on in your life in that mission field, and Belinda, how that's working.
Well, just a lot of things going on right now. About 2 weeks ago, I just returned from Congo doing some transportation needs assessment on how do we best take care of our missionaries on transportation in Central Africa. We planned on being there for about 3 weeks. After about 2 weeks, they had some problems over there, still having problems. So our senior leadership decided to get us out while the airport was still open. But it all worked out well. We got a lot of good surveys done, and we feel like we've got a good handle on how we can best help them with the transportation needs. And man, they the way they travel, you know, we complain here in the United States if for anything, you know, we get backed up in traffic. Well, you know, there they have to ride a boat for 3 days and can't even stand up and move around. And the time they get there, their body is just solid, rigid. And then we complain about it, you know, what we have to put up with. So it's just amazing about Christians all over the world, the things they do to help spread God's word.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Do you think with President Trump, we're kind of seeing things happen that way where people have, I don't know, there seems to be something happening in the church and the lives of Christians everywhere where they seem to be fired up. I don't know why they are. We should be at all times, but like they're talking about him around the world. We have friends in Africa, Uganda, and other places, and Tank has done surgery and helped people there too, and they're just using the name of Jesus, as that we were shared last week with us, everywhere. They're talking about the President Trump and God working in their nation as well as in America. Have you felt any of that in the places you've gone to help missionaries?
Well, you know, Central Africa is open countries, and so it's not too difficult. But I do get the sense that it's okay to say you're a Christian now. It's okay to say you go to church. You know, it's not something that's taboo that everybody's going to make fun of you for. And I think Trump had a big part of that on changing things in the last couple of months. And yes. I think with world powers, they respect him. And so therefore they're less likely to do anything that's going to offend him.
Mm. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. How's a lady's perspective on that? Does that make sense, Belinda?
Makes sense to me. I'm right behind him.
That's right.
I watch online while he is overseas. And yes, I was concerned about the things that were going on in the Congo while he was there. And we put together a prayer team, got him back home. And we were very thankful that they were able to do the job that they were called to do. It might not have seemed successful because they had a certain goal to reach, but they did God's will in spite of the things going on there. So we're grateful that he's back, and they're moving forward and getting ready to do the next step to provide for our missionaries.
Yes. Put the physical needs right there to actually take care of the people. Those are things we don't realize sometimes. I can't imagine, you know, the getting to some of those places, what that takes. That's incredible. You know, how about doctors there, medicine stuff? Do some of these, the missionaries ever have to take certain shots to be there or something? Craig, do you know?
Yeah, it's small, the yellow fever for sure. Yeah. You got that yellow card in your of all time.
Yeah, you better keep that with you at all times. Craig, we could use you there, man. There's a lot of people hurting right now. There's a very little help there for medical.
Wow. Yeah, it's funny because I went to Uganda a little over a year ago, and they wouldn't let me operate. But I got to, diagnose malaria and typhoid, HIV, just a bunch of medical things. But I used my hands in Jesus's way. I would just hold their hands at work, wherever they were hurting, put my hands on them and pray for them. So and invoke Jesus's name to heal them, because that's what he used to do and still does. So. Yeah. And you never know. I mean, the thing just this with surgery, you never know the ripple of what you do. And you guys are tremendous with, bringing the word to in their language. That's so important. That's like making, fishermen, sometimes our mission trips don't do that. We go, we love on the people and we leave. Right. And hopefully they look into the word and then learn and stuff, but you never know. But you definitely bring the word and teach them to read it and look.
Thank you. Well, we do take missionaries out, translators out to where they need to go. We call it the last mile, where they need to go the last mile, where they can get commercial airplanes to capitals and stuff like that. But how do they get the last mile? How do they get to the jungle, to the outback, whatever it is? But we not only carry our translators, but we carry government officials, we carry doctors, nurses, we bring them back for medical care back to the largest cities. And so we try to minister to everybody out there. And it just works well that we want to be able to do the best we can while we're out there, not just concentrate on one particular thing.
Available for everything. Wow.
And George has been known for airplanes a lot. But in the Congo, it's boats. That's how they get around. That's their thing. And so that and motorbikes. And wow. They really need. And we did the surveys, and almost to every one of them. And I did probably did 69 surveys while we were there. Just about everyone, they're not asking for more help. They're just asking for help for transportation to get there because it's so tough on them.
Wow. Mm. When they have a need or something. About let's say they had a medical need like tank help or doctors who, what's the process? Do they have like a missions office where they are or a headquarters they're able to reach you, or do they come find you? There's nothing central. They have to get to you where you are, and then you have to get there. How does that work?
Right down in Central Africa, we really don't have much going on out there. That's why we're trying to do these surveys to set up base camps. We're hoping to set one in Badaka right now, is the plan. We'll see how it works. But one of our questions in our surveys is how far away from facilities are you? If you had something wrong with you, where's the nearest hospital? Well, you got to be careful with that, because they'll say, well, it's only about, it's the next village over. Well, that's really not a hospital. That's a clinic. And even the hospitals, they probably don't even have x-ray machines. They can't even set a bone. So the nearest hospital, in truth, is probably 2 to 3 days away. And that's how far they would have to go if they broke a leg bone or something like that. They need to be set properly.
Wow.
So they're in definite need of medical treatment or medical help. And that's one of the things that just gets to my heart the most, is they don't have it. They just suffer a lot.
Mm. Wow. Paul, you got a thought up there?
I'm glad you asked that question, Joe, about, what's the process? How does that work? Last time you were with us, we talked about the overlapping of different missionary groups, et cetera, et cetera. And you said, if I remember correctly, you told us that there didn't seem to be a whole lot of a sense of competition, but people were realizing there that maybe labels were not as important as they seem to be in the United States. Is that a growing situation? The missionaries cooperating, different missionary groups? I mean, is that what do you see? What can you tell us?
I definitely see it. While we're there, MAF does some planes, and they've got some things out there. We're working with them to make sure we don't overlap. Just about last month, we had a large conference in Nairobi where all the mission organizations came together to talk about these kind of things. so that we're not doing the same thing and we're helping each other and we're talking and we're sharing. So I see it just getting better all the time.
Wow.
Well, somebody said a long time ago, you can accomplish great things if you don't care who gets the credit. You know, and I think the matter is, if we keep our eyes, you know, focused on the mission, you know, of the gospel, some of the things that we get tripped on in the States, you know, not that particular way in different parts of the country. Another quick question. Yesterday in our Bible study, I lead a little house church on Sunday mornings, and we're talking about yesterday about God working, you know, and I made a statement that in the town I live in, Lompoc, California, population's about 50,000, you know, give or take. I don't see a lot happening in the Christian community or how the Christians are impacting Lompoc, but I hear stories where that's happening around the world. And it reminded me in the scripture, it says, you know, what did Jesus say? You're blessed because you see, but boy, how blessed those are who believe and have never seen. And so when we hear stories about what God's doing around the world, and, you know, how he's impacting people, and apparently from what I've been able to read, one of the real growing hot spots is Africa, South America, where people are just coming to the Lord. And that's an exciting thing. So it's encouraging to hear, you know, your personal journeys and how you're interfacing with people so that you can share those stories, because it's really encouraging. I think people need to hear that. And so I just appreciate, you know, you being here and sharing those stories. So it does my heart good to hear that missionary groups are working together and, you know, and encouraging each other and making sure that the needs are met. It's something we don't see too much, you know, I think, my perspective in the States. So, you know, thanks for sharing. So, encourage our hearts a little bit. I know that you deal with the logistics of it and things like that, but do you ever get to interface with these people who are coming to the Lord? And what do you sense? An excitement, a zeal? I mean, what do you see with your eyes?
Right.
You know, I get a limited view sometimes because I'm talking to the translators. They come to the office and we sit down and we you know, we talk and we'll travel maybe two or three cities and that's about it. But I do get a sense of excitement, and especially excitement when they know somebody from the outside is coming in to help them with transportation and needs of that sort. They really get excited about that. But back to what you said a while ago is, you know, when you live in the United States and you don't travel anywhere else and you're a Christian, your perspective on the world is very limited, especially Christians around the world. And sometimes we get this thinking that, you know, if we from the United States don't go out and save people, it's never going to happen. Well, these people are excited. They're on fire and they're going out and they're doing the job. I've got friends in Panama who are training people to go to India, you know, so it's not just missionaries from here. It's missionaries everywhere. And God's working all over the world. And we don't have exclusive rights on being missionaries. And I think that's one of the coolest thing that I've experienced since being able to travel like this. And it's just exciting.
Mm. You know, Paul, that's interesting. That makes me think, how do I word this? Lovingly, delicately, in a nice way, because that's my heart. I think it's a wonderful thing. But when you get out like that in the world, Mark, we get out of our denominational churches and we get out of this, that, and the other. Is there kind of a peace maybe that passes understanding, to steal a phrase from the good book, that enables us to see that the name of Jesus Christ, that the ground is level at the foot of the cross, that those who put their faith in the blood of Christ for their sins and receive him as Lord and Savior, they may differ on this, that, and the other. But maybe the world needs us to see that we need to look to the face of Jesus and receive the gift of Christ, put our arms around him and live our lives for him. And if somebody's a little different here, there, the other place, I've seen some people who come from, what would be very different denominations that were incredible. And I've seen some that come from some denominations that I'd have to guess 2 out of 3 if they really are a Christian. But I don't have to make any choices. I don't have to judge anybody. Jesus said, if I go around the world, I'm to love everybody in the name of Christ. It doesn't mean that I water down what it means to be a blood-bought, born-again believer, but it doesn't mean that I get to superimpose a tag on anybody either. Because the famous saying that my pastor told me as a kid, the ground is level at the foot of the cross. And I imagine if I got out like Tank and was able to see that in Uganda, if I could see some of the things that you've seen, I imagine in my heart, I would be jumping for joy to realize that that must be a real beautiful fact. Can you talk about that? Or maybe have you seen any of that with everybody pulling together in the name of Christ?
You preach a good sermon there, Joe. I'm not sure I can follow up on that.
No. I just mean, you know, just I sure don't want to do that. But I mean, we all love Jesus.
Yeah, I understand. You know, there's a lot of things that go on. Well, one of the things that I've always realized since I've been going out is that when you don't have the Bible, you can't be very deep in it if you don't have something to study. Yes. So how can you judge somebody because all they get is from preaching it in church or something? They don't have the Bible to study. So yes. One of our translators in Vanuatu, he died, got cancer and he died. And his family, from what I understand, were all Christians. And yet still they reverted to some of the voodoo magic that was on the island. They would put bottles of salt water, ocean water, out by the entrances of the houses and things to keep evil spirits away. But yet they were still, you know, still Christians. I don't want to judge that. I mean, I don't know where their heart is, but it goes back to what you say. You know, there's different things going on out there, and we can't be judging these kind of things. We just leave it to Christ and God, and we minister to them, we love on them, and we befriend them, and that's all we can do.
Amen. Yes. Just the way Jesus loves us. Yet while we were still sinners, Christ Jesus died for us. That's right.
My father-in-law and I were discussing after the Bible study, we were talking, you know, that the church isn't the church of the Lord Jesus, isn't the brick and mortar buildings that we see. They're just not. And the church is those who whose hearts have been changed and redeemed. And there was an old hymn that we used to sing before we got hip and cool. And the old hymn said, "Join hands then, brothers of the faith, whatever your race may be, who serves the Father as a son is surely kin to me." And I think it's exciting to know that God's doing something a whole lot bigger than we're able to conceive in our minds, and how he's moving and bringing people together in remarkable ways to accomplish his purpose and his plan, you know, regardless of our backgrounds and regardless of our religious backgrounds and things like that. So I'm just really excited, you know, that we can talk about and think about how big God really is. I mean, and what he's doing, and names we'll never know the names of people who are out there sacrificing every day in ways that we'll never hear. But just to know that God knows where they are and who they are, and he's called them to a purpose, and he has a wonderful way of rewarding faithfulness. And we look forward, you know, Chuck Swindoll said one time in a sermon, he said, "There are going to be 3 things that surprise me when I get to heaven. Number 1, there'll be people there that I didn't think would be there. Number 2, there won't be people there that I thought would be there. And number 3, that I'm there." And so I just think that puts it in some kind of perspective, you know, which is really helpful. But
That's it. Yeah, somebody, I think it might have been Swindoll, but it might have been Charles Stanley that they said, "How do you study the Bible? I mean, how do you study the Bible to become so astute in what you're doing to preach? And he said, you must study hours and hours all day. He says, yeah, I've done the same thing all my life. He said, I get up in the morning. He said, I have a cup of coffee. And he said, I read maybe 5, 6, 8, 10 verses. And all of a sudden, I know. It's like the Holy Spirit says, that's it. He says, and then my prayer is, God, make that become real to me today. And he said, you know, that sounds trite, but it's so powerful. I promise you, folks, he said, every day, whatever I had read, what God laid on my heart, he made become reality through something that happened in my day as I walked in the steps. Like it says in Ephesians 2, the steps he's prepared us to walk in for the foundation of the world. And I thought, maybe we make it too hard sometimes. Maybe, like you said, somebody has salt water out there. But you know what? God made the oceans, and he loves them. And if he, you don't water it down, but Christ died for us. Boy, you're just on the cutting edge. I just hear these stories, and there's often I'll see something on the news, and I'll think about you guys. And, you know, and I'll think about what it was. And if you're listening tonight and you don't know, Ron, in looking back in time, Mark and Roger's dad is one firecracker pastor. This man is, nothing ever bothered him. Something would come up and he was had a strong opinion on it. He would tell you exactly what he thought, and you would walk away from there feeling like, wow, I just got loved and shown something at the same time understood. Always conquered all three of those things. And he was one of those guys too, Mark, that always made me think. You know, he said he kind of bounced when he would preach or talk. He would bounce a little bit, and that was kind of a good thing. Remember that, Mark? But I think that God expects us in this world today. I think we may have been given, like Ron on our team said last week, another chance as a nation, as an America. Another chance for the church to become the church. Get outside the walls. Nothing wrong with being inside, but don't live in there. Get outside the walls too, where people are, where they hurt. Get involved with missionaries. Get involved with who you know, where they might be. Get involved with people wherever you are, and love them as Christ loves us. And those 10 verses can go a long way. I think it was Swindoll. Yeah. What do you think, Tank?
Well, I think, you know, the thing I've realized on trips is that people will go, and they think, you know, I have nothing to offer medically or otherwise, and why am I here? And during the trip, they find out what they're there for and what God's purpose was.
Amen.
And you will be used. And the second thing is, I'm blessed because I get to be, you know, downrange, right in front of the people. And I'm blessed to be there to do that, but I got there because of other people that were more important, were equally important, and it wouldn't have happened without logistics and getting flung and being all these arrangements that happen even before you leave. So, it's the same thing in the operating room. I can't do what I do without a team. So, that I hope I'm inspiring you guys, Mark and Blenda, because, you know, you're sacrificing a lot. If my wife got back from Amsterdam, that's halfway to Africa, to Uganda. You fly from wherever you are in the States to Amsterdam, and then you travel south down to whatever you're going, South Africa, Uganda, Kenya, Congo, anywhere. And it's another 8 to 10 hour flight. So it's a long haul. And you guys are awesome for doing that. And so, and then the third thing I thought of, which was what Paul was talking about, is, you know, it's not about the church. It's about, you know, a relationship with God that we can pray and talk through faith. We get grace and eternal life, and that we gather and learn about Jesus and try and be like him as best we can. And that includes going to church. And, you know, I mean, if you've been to Africa or Haiti, you've seen the voodoo stuff, and you realize there are demons and spirits that are spooky, and we need the armor of God. So you've probably seen those firsthand.
I so much agree with what you said about everybody else doing something. We can say, oh, I'm a missionary. Well, we think, you know, people say mission. Well, they kind of put you on this high pedestal, like you do all this stuff. And when you get to heaven, you're going to have this great big mansion or whatever. Well, I start talking to these people in Central Africa and some of the things they have to do to carry on the message and everything. And I think I'll be lucky to condo. I mean, these guys are way doing more than anything I could have been suffering in the whole works, you know. Yeah, and who am I? I'm not anything compared to what they do.
That's right. Yeah. Amen, yeah, Mark.
So true. Yeah. So true. Yeah, I mean, because I fantasize of parachuting out into a jungle with my supplies and just operating on people. And then, I mean, in order to do what I want to do, you have to have a facility, right? That's the beginning. And then it's got to be equipped. I remember the first hernia that I did, I didn't have a retractor to kind of pull the skin apart, except for it, because it was a dental clinic, the thing that holds someone's mouth open. So
realize
that and use that and hope it would click and stay open. And yeah, MacGyver.
That's it. I bet you've had some of those MacGyver things, huh? Like you said, somewhere we had to.
Yeah, well, I also learned never tell firemen that you can't do something. So we had in Haiti, we had a kid that was just dying of cholera, and his lungs were starting to go. And so there was this big acetylene-like tank of oxygen, and it didn't have the right connections to go to a mask. And it's like, well, we can't use it. Never said you can't use it, because they found a way to get it done.
Very so resourceful. Everybody in those in Central, man, they just know how to make things work and make it go with whatever they have. It just amazes me.
Right. Yeah. We had a vehicle that slid into a ditch, and I swear within 15 minutes there were 20 Hondurans with their machetes propping things up, cutting down wood to help kind of lever the vehicle back up on the main road. And it's a family.
Yeah. It's amazing. Amazing. It's amazing what God can do at times when you least expect it. I had something I was going to say, but I'm going to prove, Tank, that I'm getting old. You guys said something that really made me think, oh, that makes sense. That's right.
You know what they say about getting old, right?
No, but I'm afraid.
One is your memory goes. Three things. One is your memory goes, and the other two I can't remember.
I'm fitting right in there, Tank. I'm fitting right in there. There's two things, serotonin, and what's the other one?
Dopamine.
Yeah, that's right. If you take one, it messes up the other. And if you have too much serotonin, you get grumpy, right? And if you have the other one, you lose all your energy. I think that's a really weak prognosis, but I saw it on a commercial once. So, I've taken to eating two Snickers a day, and I feel a lift. A real lift.
Well, when you think about it, all those drugs make you one of the seven dwarfs, sleepy, dopey. Yeah. Name one of the seven. Doc.
Yeah, right. That's right. Thank you, Big Pharma. We should all get a free sweatshirt or something. My goodness, anyway. Yeah. Boy, what I guess getting medicine to the missionaries too, huh, Mark? You guys... Sometimes you have to fly stuff in. You got to get it there while it's still good. I guess you can pack it nice, hot tank, and do things to get it to the field where people are.
Yeah. We've started experimenting, but looking at the possibilities of drones and things of that sort, too.
Interesting.
Yeah. We haven't done much with it, but it's on the radar, you know, for future.
Yeah.
There's a company that's trying to work on delivering prescription drugs to people that can't get out of their homes.
Is that right?
Drones.
By drones.
Yeah,
isn't
by drones.
Wow. Well, that's an exciting prospect. We could do something with that. What do you think, Paul?
That's the drones, yeah.
Yeah. Tonight, the biggest, what's it called, identity program is being put out there tonight for... What's the AI, not AI, I'm trying to think of it. Boy, it's been a long day today for me today. But
artificial intelligence.
Thank you. Artificial intelligence. There's a brand new one that's out. It's supposed to be incredible. Makes you never forget anything. I'm looking into it. That's right. Yeah. In fact, I sent a note and said, you know, you can make the first one named Joe. That'll work good. I'll tell you how it works, how good it works, you know. But when you get back, Mark, I can only imagine you must really be tired. And Belinda, I bet, you know, when you're on long treks like that and you've been out there putting things together, it must really be tired.
About a week to recover and get his sleep habits back. But, you know.
There you go.
Plus, the Congo crud kind of got to me. I had to get that took a little while to get rid of too.
Yeah. How long do you usually spend out there?
Just 2 weeks. But this is my second trip. Both times it didn't hit me until I got back. I think there's something about my mind. I won't let anything happen until I get back, and then I relax, and then it comes on me.
Wow, that's extreme intelligence, huh, Tank? Wow. That's good. Definitely. Yeah. Well, in any event,
it can't be any worse than having a GI bug on a plane.
Oh.
In the words of Archie Bunker, the great philosopher, you have to learn me up on that. What is that one?
Craig, do your family worry about you when you leave and when you go?
I drag them to Honduras. I took my two youngest sons when they were 7 and 9.
Did you?
And Honduras is like supposed to be one of the highest homicide in the world. So
my girls, they hardly text me unless they want something, you know. But when I'm gone like that, I mean, I'm getting these texts all the time, you know, when I get signals and they're just all coming at me. Like I sent a picture of one of the boats out on the Congo River to one of them, and she thought it was a pirate ship, and she's all worried about it, you know. So I don't know.
Yeah, you should get a picture of those big snakes.
Oh yeah.
Iguanas are real popular in Honduras, so we'll see big iguanas walking across the street.
They taste like chicken, don't they?
Yeah. Got to, yeah.
Yeah.
It's good though. I like the different kind of foods. Most of it I don't like, but I like some. I like the fruits that I don't normally get to eat here, and the different kinds. And there's some really interesting things that you can eat. One guy at the airport in Mandaka, we got off and he had this basket full of grubs. They're about 1-inch grubs, you know, and he was selling them for people to eat.
What was that again, Mark? Grubs.
Yeah, like little white grubs like you'd see underneath the rocks in the ground or something. But they're big, fat ones.
Oh, terrific.
Yeah. Okay. Not me. Get
barbecue sauce with that?
It'd take a lot. I don't want crispy.
That's right. Yeah.
It's crispy.
Yeah.
I'm in the South, so they got to be smoked or I can't eat them.
Yeah,
or fried, one of the two.
That's in Texas. Everything's fried at the state fair. Remember in Texas, everything
or smoked or fried.
Yeah, yeah.
Everything. I think every year they got a new award. Remember, Mark? Now, what they fry this year at the fair? It's going to be something really different.
Well, they got pickles and Oreo cookies and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, it's really wild. Well, anyway, kind of an interesting situation there. I was trying to think of that one thing they did at the Texas State Fair. It made world news on something, but I wonder what they're going to do every year. Well, Paul, at the in Lompoc, they have a county fair there that's known for something, don't they? Lompoc. Maybe it was just the roses I'm thinking of.
We have the flower festival every year, but Lompoc doesn't grow flowers anymore. They all gone overseas, but we still have the flower festival, and it's probably the biggest social event of the year, you know. I was reminded of a story a while ago when Mark told about eating grubs. I heard a story about a guy that came out of the jungle, and there was a guy hiking, and they stopped the hiker, and he pulled a handful of grubs out, and he says, "Won't you take a bite of this?" And the guy said, "No, I don't think I want to try one of those grubs." So he pulled a gun, and he held a gun on him. He said, "I said try one of these grubs," and so he reached down and took it and ate it, and you know, choked it down. And then the fellow who'd wandered out of the jungle said, "Now hold the gun on me while I try one." So it's just a matter. I can't imagine. It's hard for me to imagine. You know, the Bible says, be grateful and eat what's put in front of you. Is that what it says? It's in there, right? To be grateful. Yeah. And, you know, I'm thinking about,
really?
Yeah, I'm thinking about it. It'd be really tough, you know, different cultures and things like that. Tough enough sometimes. For example, I've only eaten one oyster in my life, and it took 5 or 6 tries to keep it where it should have been. Not my favorite. So if it's difficult to try different cultural things in the United States, I know it's tough, you know, for missionaries out in the field, because I get a sense that when these things are offered to the missionaries, it comes from a grateful heart, and they don't have a whole lot. So I think that those kind of, I don't think we think about those kind of cultural problems, you know, that some of our missionaries really face, you know. So they're no small things, I think.
My rule is don't ask.
Don't
ask what it is, just eat it.
If the grub has a cloven hoof and you're Jewish, you can get out of it. But other than that, I when I was in Israel, I'm trying to remember with those things. I had about 28 people over there that I took from Castro Valley with a group. And they took us to a family they knew that lived in the wall by the Westgate, but Moshe Dayan charged in 1967. And they actually lived in the wall, part of it, and they had lamb. Lamb's good, right? I'm sure it's good. My grandmother loved it. But I just had trouble. And I got to tell you, they brought it in and it was sitting in the middle of the table. And I had to do what Paul said. You know, right, Mark? I mean, this is special to them and you've got to make it special to you. And that's it's wonderful for the power of prayer. And anyways, when they brought out the thing like this and Melinda, the lady, they're smiling, they're wonderful, wonderful people there. And she cut it. When she went to cut it, it was smiling at me to begin with. And the eyeball came out, rolled out, and slid down the cheek on grease and landed in the bottom. I thought, Paul, I was going to die. It was right there, and I'm staring right at it. It was only like, you know, anyway, I ate some. I made it. It was, you know, I'm still here. Anyway, moving right along. That was pretty bad. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, we just want to share with you. Thank you. Want me to take this, or you want?
Yes, please, sir. Yes, please.
You know, Stephanie usually shares with you how we appreciate the support that you give to be able to keep our program going, and keeping it up on the different networks. We just want to say thank you for those that do, and on our website, bbsradio.com/raising expectations, you'll find that there's a way for you to do that. That's bbsradio.com/raising expectations. It's right there. We have one of those QR codes. You can just hit that thing. You all know how that works. It's real easy, and it can be sent. If the Lord lays on your heart to help us out, to keep this going, to continue to expand and do things we want to do. And we'd like to support some different things later. We'd love to hear from you on that. If anything, no amount is too much or too little. Whatever God would lay on your heart, we would count it as a special blessing from Him. So we have a Venmo there that you can go to. We have the PayPal if you have an account, or you can text or call. My number is there. On this website, you'll be able to share it with friends. You can hit the programs. This program will be on there next week. You'll be able to find it listed right there, and by the date, and read about the people on the program. It will also be up basically just about all over the world. You'll be able to find it on bbsradio.com. Just go to that site that you'll have there, and you'll see Mark and Belinda, and you can read the story, and they'll direct you right here to our page, and they'll also direct you to either watch the podcast or be able to listen if you can't watch. And their picture will be there. You'll be able to follow this wherever you are. Each week, Mark, in Uganda, we have two groups of people that watch the program each week. So you might hear from them, because they're very thankful for all that you both do. And we have a lot of fun. They're wonderful, wonderful people. Miyishma Beriyesimo. and I just destroyed a wonderful, beautiful name. So my brother in Uganda, I'm sorry. That was my best. Joe was so easy. You can call me Pastor whatever when we talk next time. It's so easy. It's not fair. But God bless you there. God bless you wherever you are. We got like 2 quick minutes here. Let's close off. Anybody have something they want to share to say out? Mark, anything that you would want to share that we can be praying for you specifically?
Well, for JARS in general, just we're taking a more aggressive role in trying to go out into the world and set up base camps and try to help with transportation. But I guess just coming back and being fresh by mind, just be praying for Congo and the troubles that they're having right now on the east side near Rwanda. The rebels there are killing a lot of people. Last time I heard it was over 2,000.
Oh, my.
They overran a prison, set about 400 prisoners free on the women's side. There were about 600 women there. They raped them, and then they burned them alive. And
my God.
These things are just heartbreaking. I mean, and the people there are so kind and nice, and then they just get overrun they get taken advantage of by political, agendas and things.
Yes.
I just feel sorry for them. We just pray for them that things work out. Just yesterday, they took over the rebels. They took over another city, and they plan on marching all the way to Kinshasa, their capital, which is about 1,000 miles away. And if they get that far, more than likely there'll be a coup, and there'll be all kinds of problems.
Oh my gosh, that's horrible. Well, that's folks, you heard it. You all be in prayer this way for Mark and all of the men and women of JARS and missionaries there. And Tank, you want to say a prayer? You've been to Uganda. You want to say a prayer just to
breathe? Yeah, I mean, Uganda is just below Sudan, which is similar. I think some of the most fertile land, but the people can't get along enough to cooperate and plant stuff. So,
I'm sorry. Oh boy.
Yeah. Oh, I'll pray. Dear God, thank you for Melinda, Mark,
yes,
the awesome things that they do for this world and
yes,
light for you, Jesus, and bring the word by action, not just
yes,
saying I believe, but actually taking the time, energy, talent, treasures, all those things to spread the word, protect them and all that they do. Please bring peace to the
yes,
Congo and other African nations that are in strife, and just let them turn inward and use that energy and money for just their own healthcare and their own food and water, and let Jesus, all of us be a light for you, Jesus, to help and bring people to believe you and have faith.
Yes,
Lord. In your name, I pray, amen.
Amen. Amen. Mark, Belinda, God bless you guys, okay? Give your mom and dad and family members a high for us and a hug, and we'll just be praying for you. Paul, love you, brother. God bless you up there.
Good to see you all. And, God bless, Mark, Belinda.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for being involved.
We'll be praying for Steph, too. Hope everybody's good. Get back. Yeah, pray for a rest.
Slumbering now, I'm sure.
That's good. Okay. All right. We'll see you soon, ladies and gentlemen. God bless and keep you. And may your expectations be raised all week as you watch him bless you time after time as you focus on the Lordship of Jesus Christ in your life. We love you all. Thank you so much. Bye-bye for now.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556, or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.